Blog Talk Radio.
Round one, what it do, what it is. Nothing that I've done or I'm doing or I did. Just me and the way I flow through. When it come to fly, baby, I'm the go-to. And that's the reason they get caught up. It's not my fresh Estee Lauder. It's just my bare essence from my ancestors. Just the way that I was brought up. I'm just wanted. Have you ever been wanted? I'm the girl most wanted. All around the world, there's a bounty on my head.
Have you ever been wanted like that? Checking over shoulders and your back. Never know who's watching when. Have you ever been wanted like that? Have you ever been wanted like this? Have you ever been wanted like that? Looking over shoulders in my Rover when I've been wanted like that. Like this, like that.
Don't know when I dropped cha cha cha, did it blow? Yeah, it did. Lights the shit, but that way since JD Rock, so that's the reason they catch feelings when they hear light is in the building. They know I'm true, everything I do, and now they hands up to the ceiling. I'm just wanted. Have you ever been wanted? I'm the girl most wanted. All around the world, there's a bounty on my head.
Have you ever been wanted like that? Checking over shoulders and your back. Never know who's watching when. Have you ever been wanted like that? Have you ever been wanted like this? Have you ever been wanted like that? Looking over shoulders in my Rover while I've been wanted like that. Like this, like that.
Bring it back to life, bring it back to light. I'm in control, want it for the flow. I strut, step, break a sweat, break your bars, punch lines, break your neck. I take respect and never expect how I'm running over whatever you heard was next. Come on now.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yes, how are you, caller? What is your name and where are you from?
My name is Talit. I'm from South Carolina.
Oh, okay. And say your name again for me.
Talit,
we are talking about Girls Rising, and we're also talking about how can challenge students be included in our arena of technology, because we know that most of these schools have segregated these children. They're not in the mainstream, and usually they don't get to interact in the gifted and talented. And because their skills are lower and their reading aptitude is much lower, they don't get challenged with these programs that are in engineering. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. Exposure, the lack of, is definitely an Achilles heel to black people in particular.
Well, for some reason, we have traded off special ed and a check for our children being excluded. And parents don't know the devastating damage that they're doing by accepting the SSI check and claiming that their child can't learn. They're putting a destiny on their child's head for failure and in lieu of accepting a check, thinking that at the end that these children, that these teachers and departments have the medicine to cure their children, and that in the end that their children will be able to transition from school to work. But then they find out that their child is given a useless certificate that does not equate to a diploma, and they cannot find employment, and the military will not accept them. So I'm trying to alert these parents that they have a signature that they can revoke once they find out the real deal. But they definitely have to go into these schools and make sure that they're involved in writing the child's IEP. Are you familiar with the IEP?
No, I'm not.
It is an actual contract of what it is they want their child to learn. Now, they're not told up front that you have the right to write a destination for your child, and we as the, educators have to fulfill that. And those parents go in there and write those lower-level criteria. They don't write anything about going to college, about transitioning online courses. So I want to make them aware that they have that right to engage these children into some of these programs. Now, how do you feel about girls learning engineering?
That's super. As a matter of fact, I have a friend who's an engineer. If I'm not, I'm architectural engineer or something to that degree. I'm not sure, but she too just held a gathering with a young girl at UNC. Trying to giving us some words of encouragement and trying to stir them towards the fields of engineering and IT, because it's such a lack of, you know, black people, black individuals in particular, male and female, that are in these, you know, fields of higher education.
Absolutely, sir. And it's interesting because I started out at Purdue University in visual design engineering graphics, because I was an artist at that point. However, I didn't know how important it was for me to maintain and stay within that track. I became intimidated because I was the only girl in the track, and I switched over to education. And I found out that those 2 years that I spent, they really would make a difference in my life. I was able to go on and take a job as a manager, one of the first female managers in a department that had a government contract, where they stipulated they must bring a female on, and I was brought on as a scheduler planner of the engineering department, and I was able to work with the department and gathering the number of men that it took to do projects and calculate their training and also to submit their time cards. So I learned a wealth of knowledge and gained a lot of friendship with a lot of engineers, and didn't realize how close I was to becoming an engineer, and that those skills would lead me into a management job. So I oftentimes thought about, can girls really rise in the profession? And now that I know they can, I want to do everything I can to bring those girls in the spotlight and get them engaged. So do you have any children that you have been talking to about engineering?
I have two daughters. One is 14, one is 18. They, the school system that they have gone to, I would say overall has failed them to a degree. The curriculum I know wasn't a very challenging curriculum, but then again, I feel like as a father I failed them in a sense as well, you know, due to my lack of knowledge and a lifestyle that I was leading, so to speak. But like I said, I have an 18-year-old daughter who's graduating high school. And I would like to try to, you know, steer her towards, you know, a field that's not only beneficial to her, but could also be, you know, encouraging to, you know, other females that share her ethnicity as well. And not just females, but young black boys as well.
And, you know, I'm all for young black boys. As a matter of fact, I did my research and thesis on young black boys, and I did engage the black boys first, and I involved them in a pre-college program for summer camp at Purdue University in engineering, and I also included my son in that program, so he got started and was on a pathway to going through the pre-college program. So as much as I could, I explained to the young boys that, yes, they could be an engineer because there was a computer hardware. At the time, most of them were interested in computer hardware, but I knew more about the software, about the websites, doing the Java scripts, and working with the front end. So most of what I had learned, I tried to put it to use, and my son would teach me whatever information he would bring home, so we were building computers together. And as he grew and, you know, went through the program, his program was 5 years. And most children, when they start out, they get a little discouraged and they just don't want to go through the five-year process so long. And that's why I'm reiterating that there is an online six-month program that will actually allow that candidate to obtain a certificate of completion and a license saying that they are a bona fide engineer in software. And they could go and put their profile together, and they can ascertain freelance work online. And I'm all for freelance because my son started out as a freelancer and a geek, and he found all kinds of jobs online and through the community, and he contracted with 1099 when he first started. And that's how most students will have to start, but then they should structure themselves as a sole proprietor or an LLC and work for themselves. What do you think about a young child working for themselves right out of college?
Definitely, definitely. And that's what's not being, you know, that's what a lot of children aren't being exposed to. You know, well, you have to have that mindset of, you know, being a creator. You know, being an innovator and having ideas that, you know, you can bring to fruition, not only for the betterment of yourself, but, you know, for the encouragement of future generations, because you see the need to have, you know, young black girls and other little black boys out in these fields, because, you know, like my friend said to me, she said, you know, in this field that she's in, she said it's mostly Asians and whites. So she's trying to encourage, you know, as many young black girls and little boys to, you know, take an interest in these areas.
Well, you know, I think that there might be more of an opportunity for girls, because when these engineering departments get these contracts, they have clear stipulations that they must have a female on the job in order to get the contract. So a lot of girls are not there, so when they have to look high and low, it just so happened that I was recruited to work on a project, and Northrop had a big layoff, and I was the first to go, because, you know, the first hired, last, you know, fire, and I was the first to go, but according to their contract, they weren't supposed to let me go. So they gave me an incentive after that when they found out they needed me on that job. So I often, you know, had a chance to work in visual design and graphics, because that's where my area of expertise was. But the main thing, I have that story to put in my repertoire, so it opened up opportunities. So I now myself do a lot of websites. I do squeeze pages and apps, and I've just been trained to do it the old-fashioned way, where you drag and drop, and you use your templates. But I wanted to learn how to do it with the coding and developing the codes. And I think I have a better appreciation for it now, because I put together a complete website and know what the end process looked like. But at the same time, I want to be professional at it, and possibly bring girls in through the Girl Scout, bring them in through the Brownies, and get them engaged in summer programs and camps.
Exactly.
Because now they're getting elementary kids engaged. And I was like, you know, how do you get elementary kids engaged? And the gentleman that's going to speak to us, Mark, next week, he is from the a franchise company that actually franchises coding for candidates who want to sell the product and get the children engaged. So that should be interesting to hear what he says
sounds
about the elementary.
Yes, sounds very interesting. And sister, you know, this language is really foreign to me right now, but it really piques my interest, and I find joy in just, you know, having this conversation with you and hearing you share this information with me. And I'm definitely going to share this information with my wife. And, you know, we're going to sit my daughter down, and the next time you all have this call, we're going to all listen to it, you know, collectively as a family.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. We'll be on next Friday at 4:30. Actually, you can come on around 4:30 because that's when our speaker will be on. And we'll also be on that Saturday. And we're going to try to stick with this particular topic and try to get as many young girls out as we can to let them know that if you're in Brownies, you want to connect, because I connect with the Girl Scouts and try to inform them. But my organization, Project 2019, we were heavily on it, and we couldn't find too many girls that wanted to commit, but we were out there, and we're going to be out there in the future talking about the money that's involved and how they can make very good money.
Key words you said is finding individuals that are willing to, you know, become engaged. I think sometimes, you know, people look at self as being boring and, you know, not fun, but not really understanding the true benefits of going off into these fields. You know, I mean, and I may be wrong, but I think a lot of times, you know, kids go to college and they take sort of the easy way out. They don't challenge themselves. They might go do some social work or psychology, and I'm not saying that those aren't, you know, decent jobs, but why not challenge yourself for a higher education? At the end of the day, I think that, you know, you want to put yourself in a sure position where you can help others, not just mentally and spiritually, but financially.
And you want to look at how can I become a sole proprietor and how can I franchise and contract
exactly.
my work. Because, see, every job that you get that's a W-2, you're just a step away from getting relieved, whereas with a contracted job, you know when that contract's going to end. And you could take two or three of them, and you can make a living off of contracting. And I'm a contractor myself, and I've been a contractor for over 20 years. And now I'm teaching young people how to go and get a certificate and get a license with the government to do business with the government, to get their Dun & Bradstreet number, to get their NIAC number, and to position themselves as an LLC. So that now they're structured as an LLC and they're a corporation. As long as they go and get their name, make sure they identify their name and register it with the IRS, those are the things that make legitimate companies. And one of the things that I push is that become a legitimate company. And do your 1099s, yes. However, once you decide to become a corporation, then you could, you know, put away the contract and become a corporation. And now you have building businesses. We don't want just people to go to work for somebody else because you can be let go in time.
Truth. I was going to say that, but I'm glad you brought it up. And that's the system. The system teaches, you know, it teaches you to it's gearing you towards working for others, you know what I mean, making others wealthy so that their, you know, grandkids and kids can enjoy, you know, your hard work instead of, you know, like you said, being an entrepreneur, creating your own business, being your own boss, and we need more of that. May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are you really, you know, really just focusing on black girls in particular, or are you trying to bring, you know, other ethnicities into play as well?
Well, I often think that we are so busy trying to take care of everybody else that we don't establish ourselves. And before you know it, everything gets blended, and then somebody has a takeover spirit, and you're no longer in charge. One thing my ancestors taught me is to, if you build something, structure it for your own first. And because we are so lacking and so behind in what we have, we have to
no
first
doubt.
you know, go and take care of self first and have a love for self first. And if we got anything left over at the end of the day, then we might be able to carry that abroad. But right now, I'm specifically saying melanin and roots are young girls, because that's who I first advocate. I'm a brown girl, and I know I got pushed in the back enough to know I lived in white communities predominantly all my life and was always second-class citizen to them. And I said, if I ever made it out of the suburbs, that I was going to create something for the inner-city ghetto.
I love it. That's why I asked the question. I love it. And I share your sympathies. I share your objectives. And you know, I share your love and your passion as well, sister. And I would just like to know, you know, me being here in South Carolina, how can I, kind of bring my children into the fold and, you know, come up under this, you know, this mentorship,
well,
so to speak?
What I'm going to say is that there is the class that I mentioned online. Under Code Like a Ninja, your child can go and register right now for free, and you can get to see how that program is set up, and you can walk that child through the program. You can even be engaged and enroll yourself, too, and it's free. And on top of that, the other thing is I have a buddy school that's online, and that's it started off being an English buddy school helping to teach English and reading. And now we've incorporated medical records. Medical records is where I also had a chance to train people in coding. There's a coding process in medical records for medical doctors, CPT,
yes,
and ICD-9. So that's another area we're going to be pushing for girls who would like to go into coding. We're going to teach them the basic of coding, but they have to have anatomy and physiology. We're going to have them do online classes for the anatomy and physiology as a preparation. And then they learn terminology, the Greek terminology of what the doctors use. So we're incorporating IT and medical together so that they can have a choice, because IT and medical is now being presented together. So we have a buddy school called an online buddy school that you can see that's out there. We give so many free hours in that class. And then we just set up our $10 online and Facebook, where we're actually trying to zone in all these classes so you can go on Facebook and you can be able to take some classes there too. So we're just getting, now we've had the buddy school for about 5 years, but we're just getting the Timbuktu school up online. And I'm basically what you call a professional development trainer. Training for this, you know, for teachers who are getting professional development. So I've always had like a training program where people can go and take continuing education. My main thing is to get our black people acclimated to developing their own institutes and having something online where we can go and get resources. I have an online website that you can go online under www.LillyInstituteForExceptionalEducation.weebly.com, and that's been on there for about 10 years, and we have a wealth of resources there, scholarships, information, reading information, so that we can have places we can go and get and take things and enroll ourselves online. So this will be going on indefinitely, but the main thing is you definitely want to tune in for our session next week. We're talking with Mark and trying to find out, you know, how you can be a part of that franchise. They actually have a franchise where they sell material for coders and setting up your own coding programs.
Hey, like I said, sister, I love it, and I can't wait to share this information with my family. You know, I'm currently away from my family at the time at the moment. But as soon as I can talk with them, I'm eager, I'm excited to share this information, and I just hope that that my children are receptive to it and understanding the importance of what you're doing, and it's really a blessing from the ancestors, sister, and I salute you.
Now I had a question. Now, are you in need of training? Would this be something that you would be interested in, you and your wife, where you could take the training too? It's only a 6-month program.
Definitely. And like I said, I would want to, you know, talk with you some more and see what knowledge that I too can gain and apply it to my life and the lives of my family. And it'll be great for me to bring my wife into the fold because she's an educator. She's actually a principal. I'm from the inner city. I led a lifestyle where, you know, you kind of feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Without me having to say.
Well, you know what? You have to look at it this way. Everybody has to have a second chance because we all make mistakes. But the main thing is you got to believe that people are parting periodically in order to get back on track. A lot of these people that are in these high positions didn't get there because they've always been good. It's in spite of their goodness. So you have to understand God is a God of second chances, and he gives all of us an opportunity to clean our lives up once we confess our sins, and then he cleanses us. We can't cleanse ourselves if we wanted to. So the main thing is that we connect this thing with the spirituality. I push the seven principles of Maya. I'm into comedic teaching, so I believe in destiny readings for our children. I believe that once they get their destiny reading, they stay close to the ancestors and study comedic teaching, because all of these academics that our ancestors prevailed in, it wasn't because they had such good brains, it's because the ancestors had already caustically put in their record who they were, and they're living off of the great substance of our ancestors. Most of what I do, I tell people, is because the ancestors imparted knowledge in me, and if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't know anything. And I tell them that degrees don't mean anything. You got to have some wisdom. And a lot of these people out here got all these academic degrees and have no wisdom to couple that off with. And I'm constantly saying, humble yourself and pay homage to the creator that lives within you, and understand that your ancestors are still walking with you. And if you can hear them, you got to know how to listen for it. And if you don't, you can be a fool walking around here with a degree.
I can dig it. And, you know, it's crazy because I don't know how long you've been on my Facebook list. And I was just scrolling through my friends list, you know, taking some people off and, you know, things of that nature. And I just happened to, scroll through your page, and I seen the video, so I matched plates. And the first thing I picked up on was, I am. You know, that speaks volumes. And as a parent, that's what you want to instill in your child. I am. I can.
I am.
I will.
I am. And once they know that they are the God, and God resides, rule, and rest within them, they can do anything, because God is actually closer than you think, because he's within your being, and all this stuff about up in the heavens and, you know, out there in the atmosphere, you got to look within first.
Yes. I love it.
So we do a thorough training on how to become a priestess. We do training on how to become a priest, and this is priestly learning we're talking about, so you're not going to come into any training with me without having some priestly training, because those principles of seven principles of Maya and the 42 confession, all these things go together. So when you become great, when you come into your own, you can build your kingdom. You won't be ignorant trying to build a kingdom because you base it off of this so-called secular knowledge. We're trying to get priestly knowledge, not just secular.
Balance.
Yes. Balance, reciprocity, and understanding that Maya, you have got to have Iwapeli, good character and good conduct, because so many wicked people get all this knowledge and have bad character. And we're trying to say that you cannot go further or one step further if we are guiding you with the ancestors' tutelage, and then you have bad character, because you're going to come and destroy our camp, and we can't let you destroy our camp. So you've got to live righteous.
No doubt.
So that's one of the things we're asking parents to push and help us in, because once you impart this comedic teaching in your household, your whole life changes, and the path of your children changes, because you get readings periodically. Our room is set up where we do oracle readings. We do readings for the family and for the destination of a brand new child that is born, to see what's in the life of that child. You know, what is their destiny? What is their purpose? And a lot of blacks keep forgetting that this is how we function when we were ancient people. We had oracle readings, and it gave us a path and a glimpse into the future. And a lot of these, and this wasn't come about just because I scratched my head and said, let me do this. I had to go into the Spirit, and Spirit had to show me this almost a year in advance before I did it.
Wow. And you know, I kind of frequent Facebook somewhat, and I have come across some posters where, and I love it. And you know, someone might say, hey, there's a shift happening. You know what? It seems to be, you know, an awakening, so to speak, that's going on, because you know we have all of these different, you know, social media outlets where we're able to, you know, share information and share knowledge, and you can't underestimate the power of planting a seed. And how that seed may resonate with individuals to spark that flame that has always been there into a fire.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because a lot of the followers I have, when they see I'm connected to Kemetic, they immediately want to be in our network. And we build a strong network of Kemetic people. And that's a good thing. That tells you that people are waking up, and they all want to be alignment with the Kemetic so that they can have the I am concept and know that they're the God that they've been looking for. We keep saying, you know, we better wait till Martin come. Actually, Martin has come, and Elijah has come. And we're talking about when Elijah comes, everything's going to be set straight. Elijah's been here and gone, and we still haven't set things straight yet. We got to know that God lives with us.
Yes. I love it. And even though I might have lived the way that I live and from where I'm from, it's always been that small voice within me. That's why when I speak to people that are more in tune with their spiritual side, and you know, more in tune with, you know, wisdom and embracing, you know, that ancestry within them, it resonates with me. I feel, you know, it's like I feel a connection, so to speak.
Well, you're supposed to, because we are one. Okay, I am the coyote, I am the bear, I am the deer. We are one. And if it ain't happening on the east side of town, it sure ain't happening on the west side. We should be thinking as one, because we all embrace each other. There is no such thing as individual I. It's a we concept.
No.
I am
no.
because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. So, you know, I didn't get to where I am without having the connection with your ancestors. And we've got to teach our children, when you go into school, when I went into school, I had to constantly involve myself in oracle readings and understanding what I was supposed to be doing, because the ancestors were guiding me, and I had to, you know, go through and get a master's degree. So I was feeling like, well, my family has never gone this far before. Will they understand why I need to get this? And to be honest, as I think about it, all the time I spent in school, I really should have been spending learning the spiritual path. And I kept trying to, you know, get into the spiritual path while I was in school, and I spent so much time learning the secular Christian way that I said, boy, did I waste a lot of time learning that when I could have been learning really who I was. And I tell young people that when you come into this, you got to have a meditating, prayed-up life, and because it's going to cost you something, your time. Some of this stuff may not come to you easy, but if you can call ancestors and ask them to present this stuff to you so you can understand it, you can break it down so you can understand it like you are the professor. And you can go through it with straight A's if that's what your desire is. But at the same time, learning is very important for us. And we have to remember we're Egyptians. So learning was very important. But we got a lot of black folks that say, oh, we don't need no learning. Learning ain't that important. And then they shut it off. And then when they get ready to go for these jobs, and they say, well, do you have this and have that? And then they feel like, well, you know, I don't. And I don't need it. You might not need it, you know, in your perspective, but in order to move through the system, you need this piece of paper, and you need lots of paper to show them. And I've been able to accumulate a bunch of paper. I said, you ain't got nothing on me. I got some paper to show you. You ain't even seen.
Uh-huh.
So when you present that paper, it opens up doors, you know.
Yeah.
And you do it because that's their silly game, you know.
Yes. And see, our little brown babies, I'm going to use the term brown. I like how you said that. They have to, you know, learn that, you know, they come from a very strong lineage and ancestry. You know, our African people, our African ancestors, man, they were some powerful individuals. You know, not just. See, I'm really new to this, and I'm learning. But you know, we hear a lot about, you know, Kemet, but there were so many other great civilizations as well.
Oh yeah. Well, see, the reason why I'm saying Kemet is because no other civilization can you measure the time who was in rulership as long as Kemet was. No other realization they were in time in rulership. I was a history teacher, and I lecture and. I got to spend some time with some great lecturers, Dr. Carruthers,
yes.
Dr.
Yes.
John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben Yochen, right up there in Milwaukee. So I became a lecturer while overseas in Germany for keynote speaking for Dr. Martin Luther King's Day. And I started to speak like my instructors did. You know, their whole thing was Kemet, the civilization of when we were in greatness, not when we thought we were slaves. That should be X'd out altogether. That is not us, because we're talking about in the great range. Because some of that stuff they're talking about being docile, not fighting back. Harriet didn't take no stuff, and she didn't leave
no
prison. She said she had a choice
and
one or two things: to give me liberty or give me death. If I can't have one, I have the other.
Exactly.
She wasn't playing. So I do a one woman show on Harriet to show us that we have got to show. If we want to take this thing, you got to take it by force. You cannot go out here saying, give me nothing.
Exactly. And you, it's funny you said that, because, see, my daughter, my youngest daughter, she loves to I work out of town. And when I come home, you know, it's the show on TV called Underground. I really don't watch TV. And she's always like, hey, Daddy, watch this show. I'm like, sweetheart, they never tell you the truth in that show. They always show our people being docile and running, as you say. But they never show the great rebellion. And they never co-sign all of our people who stood up and said, no, we're not taking this. And they killed for it. You know, they never show us in that Nat Turner sense.
That's right. Never show you John Jacques Dessalines, Toussaint
yes.
Louverture, Bookman Dadi, when the Haitians took over. And they never showed you how they went down and got all the priests, and they kidnapped them and said, y'all going to show us the way. Summons the ancestors. They summons the ancestors to get their strength. And a small group of them took over the French, took over and got their freedom. Nobody talks about that. They need to do a movie on that.
No, they won't. That's too empowering. No, they don't want to turn that flick into no flame. That's something, man. You want to keep these folks' minds shallow. You want to keep it shallow.
And why do they keep coming up with more and more venues about when we were slaves? Now this series they got about them taking over and everything, that's good. I like to see more of that, because that's exactly what was going on out there. You have to understand, Harriet Tubman had William Steele, and he wasn't no pushover. William Steele was steadfast in what he believed in. And then, you know, they brought in Garrett, and indicating how Garrett, you know, stood up. And he had something to gain, because all of these people that were slaves, those slave owners got paid off when they released their slaves, their so-called cargo. When they released them, they said, you got to pay us for our cargo. They got paid the first reparation for releasing the slaves. Nobody talks about that.
No doubt.
But see, it's so much that we've got to understand that our children are tired of seeing us slumped over, afraid, not passing the baton, and they're going to stand on the front line. They are. I guess you would say they're the Jesuits. Soldiers who go stand on the front line, they don't mind dying. And they're kind of tired of us, because we ain't still for nothing but marching.
Yes, like for instance, I'm currently in Savannah, Georgia, and they have an event around here called St. Patrick's Day. It's a little little festival they have every year. So I'm out here on the script. I seen this one sister. I said, girl, you sure got on a lot of green. What's the origin of St. Patrick's Day? I mean, where does this begin at? You know, what brought this about? She said, I don't know. I was like, okay. And she just walked off, you know?
That's a shame. That is a shame. We are worshiping something and don't know what it is.
Oh yeah, but you know what? It reminds me of a book that I once read, Carter G. Wilson, The Miseducation of the Negro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that too. Well, see, that's just it. As a school teacher, I've seen a lot of things, and in my research of the manuscript that I'm writing about black boys, I met with Dr. Juwanza Kanjufu. And I asked him, I said, Dr. Juwanza Kanjufu, what is the conspiracy to destroy black boys, and who are the conspirators? He looked at me with this little twinkle in his eye, like he winked, and said, you know. And I said, what do you mean I know? That started my research when I did my thesis. I said, I'm going to find out who those conspirators are. So I came back to him. I said, Dr. Juwanza Kanjufu, I hate to say this, but I believe that the conspirators is a female because she carries out this indictment. He said, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And by then I had told him, I said, it's a shame that I have to include us females, but it's the truth. So I had lectured and defended my thesis talking about how women were carrying out this indictment and didn't even know it because we're 80% of the teachers in the school system.
And you know what? And I sincerely apologize for interrupting you because I love, you know, listening to you, sister, and I know, you know, you have a lot of wisdom that I too can absorb. And if you mention anything about that, women would go on the attack saying, hey, you're such and such pandering. You're just, you know, advocating for these men because, you know, you for some, like you're kissing up to them, but no one wants to be open-minded. I mean, because we both have our issues, but we have to understand that we need each other as well.
Well, what I say to them and what I have said to them is that we've got to be honest about this if we're going to solve the problem.
Mm.
When Jenny come in our class acting a fool and we can't get Jenny to settle down, we keep saying, Jenny, settle down. If you don't settle down, I'm sending you special ed. We make those threats, and then eventually they carry them out because that's a very powerful position to be in.
They become
where you can indict. You can indict a child just because he's getting on your nerve. So I've seen so much of this happen, and I said, well, you know what? We are sending those boys through the special ed cycle, and we know that the first line of special ed is a penal institution, and then we wonder how they got there. So I'm saying this to say that in getting these young boys and girls and these folks, we have to say, look, we have to break away from special ed. Special ed has not done anybody any good. Yes, your mother got a check. And, yes, the school district gets paid money, but it hasn't done you any good. It has damaged you. You're damaged goods now. So we've got to be on the money to talk about how we got to save our bald eagle, which is the black male, because he is definitely on a collision for going to the penal institution. And we can't leave him out.
And not only, if not the penal institute, there's an epidemic of effeminization going on with the black male, and it threatens the very essence of the black family structure. It will destroy that.
Oh yeah, and it has destroyed the black family. And one of the things that I recommend, and we started off on reordering the marriage styles for the 21st century for the African American. I did a 2-year program on that, and we talked a little bit about how we have got to bring back, you know, we know that the patriotic person is the woman, but we've got to bring back the benefit of marriage. And even if we have to bring back, what do you call it, where you have more than one wife, we call it, well, we bring that back into the picture where not only the mother, polygamy. Not only the Muslims are doing polygamy, but we're creating and taking that so-called broken system and revamping it, bringing these young mothers off the street and putting them in settings where they can learn from older women, and the men will actually cohabitate with 5 women, because we're building families now. We're not talking about is this wrong. We're looking at, if this woman going to have a baby, at least it would be by the same man, and it wouldn't be by several different men. Yes. And so we did a whole, you can go out and listen to it. We did it for like almost like 3-4 years, and we had a lot of participation, and we talked about how we've got to restructure that as a family. And Brother Polite talks about it all the time, but that's a package you can market. Because if you got that package going on, and then you got all these other swingers out here, are we teaching the families they can be swingers? No. We got to teach them that they have to be housewives and they have to learn the basics. That's why we got so many children out here that have never had any training because they know mothers at home.
Yes. Yes.
But we got some real work to do. And these schools, they are supporting a lot of this same-sex stuff and all that. And we got to realize that discrimination came for us when we had no part in it. But, see, when you look at same-sex, they have a part in what they're doing. But at the same time, we tend to forget about the fact that all of the 14th Amendment, 15th Amendment, we often use rights to other people that are supposed to be minorities, and we didn't even get the benefit of it.
No question. No question. It's like I was telling the sister, you know, I was telling someone something. They were talking about the civil rights movement. But my question would be, what rights did blacks get? White women got rights, gays got rights, and blacks got pushed to the side.
That's right, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. We got nothing. Actually, the white woman benefited the most because by her being a minority voice, she just got all the benefits, and we look back and say, what was that marching for? We didn't get anything.
Yes.
That's why when people say, we're going to march about this, no, we're not. We are not going to march about this. If you're serious about this, you're going to go get this. You're going to leave that marching alone because you can get killed doing that marching. And unfortunately, you know, Martin Luther King didn't get a whole lot out of marching either.
No, 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 he did not. And you know, white people aren't ignorant to racism. They know what's going on. They know about you know, this bubble of privilege that they live in, so to speak. And but you know what really amazes me though, and I haven't been on Facebook long, the ignorance. Like some white people are literally ignorant. Like they don't know. You know what I'm saying? Some of them do know that they are aware, and they just choose to not care because they lack empathy and compassion. But some of them are really, they're stupid.
Well, I look at it like this. I don't have very much energy to talk about them because I'm too busy trying to get us together.
Yeah.
And when I can get our stupid people together, then I may have some time to talk about them. But I look at it this way. I am a product of my environment, so I believe that we got so much to get together for ourselves. We ain't got time to point any direction to them because all they want to look at is opportunity to send somebody after you or for you. And I'm not going to give them that reason. But what I will say is that we are becoming ignorant about our own reparations, saying we don't need no reparation and we ain't never had no reparation. The main thing is owning property, and I often do a series on it is vital that you must own property because it was put in the Constitution that you would own property, and it's very vital that if we're going to teach our young people right, they must own property. See, they stay in apartments, and they don't have any type of write-offs, or they don't own any stake in any land. We must teach them once they own property because the rich white male got power and authority because he owned property and slaves.
They understand that the wealth is in the land.
And the wealth is in the land. Now, here's what we got to be looking at is that there was no value put on land until they put a slave on it. And you got all this stuff going on about foreclosure. We need to learn the foreclosure laws. We need to learn that it's illegal to foreclose in certain situations, and we need to learn that somebody has fooled us and played a game and put a stake on our property and ran us off our land. It's no different than what they did in the slavery time and ran us off our land when, in fact, the person that is in possession has more ownership than anybody that claimed right to that land. So if you're in possession, technically, as long as you stay in possession, they can't say you abandon your land. But we've got so many people that have abandoned the land and walked away, and they took our land and put it in portfolios. And The way we get our reparation back, we demand our land back. And when we demand our land back, that's the first process of starting to get our reparation. And I'm all for the process of reparation because once you have land, then you can leave a legacy for your children.
And you know what? Hearing you talking about the abandonment of land and, you know, possession, because even in law it says possession is 85% of the law. There was a post circulating on Facebook where a brother had, I forgot what state it was in, but he'd done some research. He was aware of some tenants that had a home that was supposedly under foreclosure, and they did not do something, and the home was well over, well, like a couple of $100,000 or something like that, and the brother got it for, I don't want to sound far-fetched, but really next to little, I want to say like a couple of thousands of dollars or something like that. It was crazy, and the neighbors was like, how is this possible? But here's a person who did his due diligence and was aware of you know, the law and his opportunity to stake claim to a property that was abandoned.
And that's how they're getting it. Because see, when you first sign your documentation, you are signing a documentation that says that if you forfeit, then your PMI loan that you have will pay that loan off. So in essence, that loan was loan paid off. So most people know this. They come out to pirate the property because they figure they can run you off the land and it becomes abandoned, and that's the only way they can take possession. And like you said, 80% is possession. We don't know these laws, and we don't understand that once you sign that paperwork, you're saying that you give them the right to foreclose on you, but you also have a PMI loan that you have taken out that will cover you in the event that you forfeit on your loan. And a lot of people don't know that when they file for these bankruptcy and they put their houses outside of the bankruptcy and they reaffirm their property, they can reaffirm their property and set up a payment plan through that Chapter 13. So all this stuff, you know, our black people are not getting this knowledge, and we need places to house this information because our biggest problem is a lack of information. We perish for a lack of information.
Yes. We've been miseducated and misinformed. And,
right.
You know, I said something earlier, exposure. You know, a lot of people, you know, aren't exposed to information that could be beneficial information, and they desensitize our people on a massive scale by, you know, this very crafty social engineering system that they have through, you know, media outlets, TV, radio, because in which is a means to really dumb you down, to keep you sidetracked from what's going on.
That's the idiot, because if you sit in front of that, you're really not getting any information of source. And that's why you got to have small groups like the blog talk shows and online webinars. There's another show that will definitely benefit you. It's called High Frequency. I've learned so much off of High Frequency on the UCCs and understanding what the straw man is. I mean, they bring some of the best speakers there, and they're like your best lawyers. And you can go on there and hear just about anything. I don't know. Have you listened to that show?
No, I'm not familiar. Like I say, you know, a lot of this is foreign to me, but I have heard it. I have heard little snippets of it. And that's where you get your, you know, you heard the term your backdoor deals at. Because, you know, because you have these backroom deals where you have people that have this knowledge. So when they present this knowledge in a very articulated manner, then they're able to, okay, all right, let's come to a median on this, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? We'll do this. And the individual that's making this argument, he's like, okay, you know, sometimes you have to give a little to gain a little, but because they had that knowledge, they were able to benefit. It was still a plus.
Well, see, what happened on my show, I went and ascertained some young ladies from California who had been working very diligently and gaining people their properties back, and also doing the legwork on the legality of the paperwork. They're, in other words, they're stenographers. They're not lawyers, but stenographers. And I did stenographer work before, typing it up and showing them where they're going to get the information in the book, and they regurgitate it to you, and you type it up. So I definitely don't want to lure these people out to be lawyers, because they're not a member of the practicing bar, and they could be lured to jail for that. So we made sure that they understood that these were teachers who were stenographers, but they were giving you books that you can obtain that information. And the information and knowledge is powerful. So they were able to get the information, and her groups of agencies typed it up, and she was able to ascertain a lot of people, their homes, that. And eventually, later on, I told her, I said, maybe you should go to a pro bono lawyer and ask him to actually head up this program so that we could continue to help people get their property back and show them what to do under the auspices of an attorney. Because truly, legal representation is very expensive, and most of our people don't get it. And they don't know how to go and look it up themselves in the law library, and they're not trained. And maybe that may be a course we can give somebody on how to go to the statutes and pull out what the case law is, and, you know, be able to read case law. And I brought a lot of lawyers on my show, and these were candidates who were going to graduate from school. And I gave them a task. I said, you know, because I'm giving you all this free airtime, I want you to come back and help the people. So it was about five of these women who were the top in their class in engineering. So the people got to call in to talk to them. I said, we need those kind of shows where we open up and show our people that there are lawyers that are still in school that have some skills that they can give us in our community, because we perish for a lack of knowledge. And that's what I'm hoping that we can do, to put the knowledge out there so that these parents and these children in special ed won't be parents.
Well, you know what, sister, I definitely look forward to, you know, engaging in more, you know, constructive conversations with you. And I would love to bring my family in on these conversations.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would love to have you bring your family in, because that way we can give your daughter a direct route, and you and your wife can work with her online, because the class is free. And then you can kind of help her and show that you got a commitment to it. Then, you know, anything done in a family environment is more committed, because now she knows you committed to it.
Yes.
By your wife being a principal, she could even get the class possibly put in her building to even introduce young people to, because it's a free course.
Exactly. And that's where you're able to, when you can articulate a sound push for a grant money to, bring this idea to fruition, so to speak.
Oh, brother, they already got grant money because they need engineers bad, and they're in competition with China. So there is grant money out there you wouldn't believe.
Yes.
Like,
when my son
started out in engineering, he didn't have to pay for his education. He got a free ride. If you go out to engineering, you can get a free ride, and you got a decent index. And the one thing my husband and I got behind him, we walked him through that program and stayed with him, because we knew that would make all the difference in the world with him being an engineer. And my other son was a visual graphic. So we pushed him, and we walked him through and went through the projects with him and said, let's see how you can do this. And, you know, you got to get invested with your children. You really do.
Yes. And I, like I said, I have my two daughters, and I have my son there, you know, as an onlooker, you know, soaking up all the knowledge he can as well.
Now, how old is the son?
My son is 9.
Oh, that's a good time to get him started. So next week, you definitely want him in, because they're going to talk about elementaries getting started in coding. And you and your wife definitely benefit from that. Yeah. Well, listen, brother, we look forward to having you on our show next week. And we're going to have Friday and Saturday. Friday is 4:30, and Saturday is at 1 again. So definitely follow through and connect and let your wife know about the show and keep following us and become a friend. We appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're family. You know what I'm saying? And that's the understanding that we as a people have to understand is that we share a common fiber. And if you don't have that individualist mindset, then, you know, what's understood need not be explained.
Now, let me ask you a question. Have any of your children ever been in special ed and been in that particular arena at all? Or do you have family members with children in special ed?
Ma'am, I have a sister who opted to allow the school to put her son on that medicine, and she started to gain, you know, for the check or whatever. She didn't know any better, but no, I have none of my children have ever even have never been. You know, they actually tried to put me in special ed once when I was in school. But my grades begged to differ because you know I was you know doing you know being a typical kid growing up in an unstructured environment and I you know was doing things that you know I should not have been doing, but my grades never warranted me being placed in a special remedial classes, so to speak.
Okay. Well, that's the only reason they should have put you in there for learning disability or possibly for a behavior disorder. Would that have warranted you being there for behavior?
No. See, that doesn't, from my understanding, behavior doesn't warrant you going into remedial classes. You know,
but not remediation. I'm talking about they have a behavior disorder where they put you in a BD class for bad children. You know what I'm saying? They do have that.
I never paid, but I guess now this is where they get the Ritalin and all of that old psychotic medicine, and they're giving it to our little babies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're starting as early as preschool, and one of the warnings that parents should have is that when you get a BD label, you have got to take your child to get an EEG so they can study the brain waves, and if they're not studying the brain waves, they don't have a true conviction of ADHD because you cannot diagnose this observation.
You cannot. And that's where your conspiracy is coming at. It's a conspiracy to. It's like you said. At the end of the day, you know, our women are our women. Women are steadily advancing, and understand that you know we're trying to get you know our women out into these different fields of higher education. But our little boys are falling by the wayside very dramatically, and it's an
there is the conspiracy, as you know, we talked about, and those little boys are getting put on meds, and I am well aware of it because I was in districts where I had to fight, and I was an advocate where I went to court for women to fight to get their children off the meds and to get their children in a least restrictive environment. Now, I don't know if you know that term or not. The least restrictive environment must be an environment that's conducive to that child, and a parent can request that the child be moved to a different school in order to meet the least restrictive environment, and that's up under the FIPA law. And you got the FIPA law, you got the 94-142 IDEA law, and 457.
Yeah.
I wanted to make these parents aware of these laws, and I used to conduct workshops on them to make sure the parent had the ammunition to work with because it is not always a recommendation for medication because medication may be the beginning of the problem because you have to have somebody to monitor that medicine and you have to have a behavior modification to go with it. You just can't put the child on medicine without a behavior modification. That child will end up having side effects and you not know what to do about it.
Exactly. And what you just touched on, I too was unaware of. But that is going on massive scales because a lot of people aren't aware, you know. So they've allowed, you know, we have our young sisters out here that had, you know, when these people say, well, we'll put him on this medicine, or we'll put her on this medicine, and you'll get a check once a month. They hear the word check, you know, they're thinking about dollar signs, but that's nothing compared to your child's life.
Well, they don't have a clue what this medicine does to the child. You got Ritalin, and you got all kinds of medicine. These are psychotropic drugs that the child is on. Sometimes they develop tics, where they start ticking their eye or mouth will move uncontrollably. They yes. stop eating. They have a lot of side effects, and there are some alternative things if you have children that are really uncontrollable. There are alternative things that doctors out of California use. So a lot of times the mothers have to understand, do I have an alternative choice of getting a different evaluation? Yes, you do. If you don't like the evaluation they give you through the M-Team, they have a list of doctors and psychologists that you can choose from and have your own personal independent evaluation. And I recommend that anyway so that you get the child a fair chance, you know.
And you know what? And I know you're about to cut off here. It's funny we're having this conversation, right, because I told you about my nephew. And, growing up, you know, I used to, you know, I spent time with my nephew, whenever I would have birthday parties for my daughters or something, he'd come over. And I always, you know, he looked like a normal kid to me. You know what I'm saying? Then eventually his mother started to allow him to be on this medicine. And I could see the changes that, you know, things I was beginning to see in him that I didn't see before. And, of course, you know, he got older, still growing up in an unstructured environment, not being under this system that you're talking about that a child could benefit from being under when they have been properly, you know, guided while taking this medication. But anyhow, long story short, the boy committed a criminal offense. And I think now his mother is trying to, you know, his defense, using his defense was that, he was on this medicine. He's always been a problem child. He had learning disorders and da-da-da-da-da. But maybe that is also a constructive argument that could be made in his defense because, you know, he was neglected from having been put on this medicine. Not trying to say what he did was right because what he did was it was disgusting. But at the end of the day, you know, not only as his uncle, but as a black man that sympathizes with, you know, my little brothers, I understand how the system would demonize young black males because we all make mistakes. But the system is not going to be sympathetic towards that. In their eyes, you're a hardened criminal.
Brother, that's why a woman don't need to be raising a male child by herself. She just wants him to be good and be passive. But in a man's eye, he wants that man to be able to be responsible and function like a man and be strong. So it needs to have some balance there. That is just an example of not having duality of balance. And a mother figures, well, in order to keep these people off my back at the school, I'm going to let them go ahead and put them on medicine without looking up that medicine, seeing what the great side effects could be. You have to monitor that medicine. You have to make sure the dosage is right. And you cannot not give the child a change of behavior and just let him take medicine or else he's doomed. So I personally believe that mothers have to understand there's a PTI called the Parent Information Center, and they have one in every state. I suggest you send your relative to that PTI center, and they have all kinds of information and material she can get for free to show her what happened in the timeline of that child's life and how that medicine was functioning in his body, because she has some recourse, you know, because did they get the child behavior modification? Did he get a learning plan? Was he in a classroom to show him how to behave? Because if he wasn't, she got some recourses, and that's what parents need to know is their rights, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, sister, I love this conversation. I'm definitely glad I decided to click on that video. I saw you gearing up, you know, getting ready to speak, and it's truly been a blessing. And thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you so much for being a part of the show. And don't stop visiting us. We're going to be on every Friday. We're going to try to stick with the Saturdays, but right now, next Friday and next Saturday. So we would definitely love to have your family. And
yeah,
tell everybody else about the show as well.
Yeah.
And give out that number because we do have it posted on my Facebook.
Yes. Thank you very much.
All right, then. Have a great day.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're still on the line here. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to do way back.
They say back in the day, you used to be accessible. Now you on that fly, can't.
can't nobody get next to. It's looking like this business has finally got the best of you. All I can say is, don't take it personal. I'm on my grind, always on time. Don't play no game, just play my part. If being flop was a crime, then I take the case and I take the charge. I'm lifted up, gifted up. God thought so fit, he lit me up like a New York City skyline. I'm blending people like tie-dye. No color line, your brother's mine. I'm hard to find, so bye-bye. Top ranking, close six deals in between you blanking. So don't call me with that BS. Asking when can we text? We can't, this game done fell apart, and I'm putting together these pieces.
Damn.
You say I'm hot now. Don't take it personal, it's you and I. I rain so high, so recognize.